This week, a transatlantic radio feature by way of New York City. Welcome to the NPR Station Showcase with PRX. I'm Aaron Henkin. Producer Emma Jacobs is currently an intern at the WNYC program Soundcheck. She's also active as a mentor for younger radio makers at the Columbia University College Station WKCR. And if that's not enough to keep her busy, Emma is also in the midst of completing a major in Francophone studies. She recently spent some time in West Africa, and during her stay, she visited a unique independent school in Dakar called the School of the Road. As you're about to hear, Emma spoke with the school's founder, a self-educated man named Amayata Mbai. She also talked with a fellow American named Chad Goodroad, who's volunteering at the school as a teacher.
You're on the street, and it's lined with different shops, and you just sort of cut into one of the shops and follow a path that leads back into a more open area. All the houses are made of wood and then tin roofs. And there's always, like, women sitting outside of their shack, either, like, peeling vegetables or preparing fish, usually with kids running around everywhere. Keep walking past these homes, and then there's more of an open area where there's, like, a foosball table. There's usually, like, a guy with a coffee maker. So it's sort of like the center of this little area. And then from there, you just keep following a small path to where the school is.
Chad Goodroad studies English in the United States. In Senegal, he has taught English as a volunteer at the School of the Road for the past 4 months. The school is in a central area of Dakar, the capital of Senegal. Off the main road and just blocks from a downtown with luxury hotels and multi-story office buildings, this neighborhood is off the grid. The area has no electricity and few permanent structures along its dirt tracks. Amayata Mbai founded the school that meets here nearly 3 decades ago. Back then, he met with his students in the street.
My name is Amayata Mbai. Until the age of 14, I was illiterate. I didn't know a single word until the age of 14, because I was a talibé, a Quranic student. I was in the streets of Dakar to demand alms of the people. So, I wanted to speak the French language, but I didn't have the chance. Those who attended school spoke. I listened, and I read. S-H, the first word, shell. S-H-E-L-L, because there was a shell station. And so those who went to school said, S-H-E-L-L, shell. A business that made shoes. Shoes like this. B-A-T-A. In big writing. So I wanted to speak, but I couldn't, so I learned the French language in the street, and by the time I finished, I called this school School of the Road, because in the street, too, there is a school.
Mbai has more than compensated for his early lack of education. He eventually worked for many years as a translator for a fishing company. He also began offering classes to others who had not had the opportunity to learn. Today, he says his school has more than 100 students between the ages of 4.5 and 12 who come to study with volunteer teachers during the day. Older students come in the evenings. They study basic math, French, and English to improve their skills for their work.
Housewife. They sell charcoal seller, water seller. They clean also. They sell also stuff, small stuff in the street.
Mbai argues that the School of the Road offers better instruction than the public schools. They are on strike all the time, he says, and their students can't learn. His volunteer teachers are a mix of foreigners and Senegalese. Mbai says they want to teach. He thinks some, like Chad Goodroad, can offer the students better instruction in subjects like English than they would get in the public schools.
How was the weather during the weekend?
During the weekend,
it was good? Was it sunny or rainy?
It's sunny.
Sunny. Did it snow? Did it snow? No.
Chad, the American volunteer, wasn't sure when he first arrived. He told me everything seems disorganized, and that student attendance has been irregular since he arrived. The school's informal status means that it has less funding than a Senegalese public school. Supplies are scarce. The school's few resources mostly come from Amiyatta Mbaye's family farm. He travels home to the Lac Rose region every weekend and brings back crops to sell in the city to finance his project.
Part of me wants to say, yeah, it's such good work. How can it not have a positive impact? But realistically, are these kids really learning something? I don't know. But they are there. They're learning something, I guess. They're putting that effort out there. And, you know, they have more access to some things than a student in a public Senegalese school. But on the other hand, that's so inconsistent that it's hard to say if that's something that will last or not and what impact it'll have. So, and also, I think a lot of these students probably, students in a Senegalese school will have the opportunity to go on and study at a higher level, but most of these students probably won't, or they're already in the workforce. And so I guess their reasons for being there are different, because what they're learning, probably they're going to apply right away, because a lot of it is just basic language skills and math skills, which are, you know, pretty central to the jobs that they'll have.
Mbaye dreams at his school will become a university someday. Right now, that day is still far off, but Amiyatta Mbaye says that anything is possible.
It's a question of making an effort. There is a stone that was there that transforms itself into a diamond. Everything is a question of will alone. If you love something, everything is possible. Everything. If you have a dream, nothing is impossible in life. In life, you must always be determined. It was difficult, you know, for me in the morning, at the beginning. You see the school here? It was made from nothing.
Amiyatta Mbaye and Mamadou Lamine Thiaw in Dakar.
A story from WNYC intern and WKCR mentor, Emma Jacobs. You can hear more work from Emma online at the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. That's also where you'll find a link to the station's showcase weblog with interviews of our featured producers and a complete archive of our weekly picks. Just scroll down the PRX homepage and look for the station's showcase logo on the right-hand side. The website again, prx.org. Log on, write your own reviews, and have a say in what ends up on the radio at the Public Radio Exchange. For the NPR Station Showcase with PRX, I'm Aaron Hinken. Thanks for listening.